This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. You are tuned into the Mount Vernon Missionary Baptist Church podcast for the week. Well, you will hear the teaching and the preaching of the senior pastor of Mount Vernon Missionary Baptist Church, the Reverend Matthew L. Browning. This podcast is an extension of the ministry where the Word of God is magnified, Jesus is glorified, and understanding is fortified. After the message, information will be given about our church location, phone number, and how to obtain a copy of this message in its entirety. So now, let's join Reverend Browning with the Word of God already in progress.
Mark 14 and 22. And as they did eat, Jesus took bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank of it. And he said unto them, "This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many. Verily I say unto you, I will drink no more of the fruit of the vine until that day that I drink it new in the kingdom of God." The word of God for the people of God, and the people of God said amen.
Amen.
We'd like to use for a subject a title, "Come On to the Supper Table." Coming to the supper table. They're found nestled in Mark is the institution of the Lord's Supper. Paul's term describing the nature of the Lord's Supper, and thus the term used by many church groups to refer to their celebration of Jesus Christ's final memorial supper with his disciples. Amen? Paul used the Greek word koinonia to express the basic meaning of the Christian faith and sharing in the life and death of Christ, which readily creates a relationship, amen, of Christian, of Christ, and the believers, and to the believers with one another in the partnership or unity. So we understand as the Lord's Supper is being served, it talks about the death of Jesus Christ and the suffering of Jesus Christ. And it also talks about the partnership in which we share as believers. Amen? So we understand that Jesus Christ, as he comes to this point, he is never overtaken and unaware of the situation that is at hand. So we understand that Jesus Christ now is instituting this Lord's Supper. But how can you think about a supper table when you know that in a few hours, in a few days, that you're going to be facing trouble, trial, and problems in your life? None of us really think about eating when we're faced with troubles or trials, do we? We get some bad news. I think the last thing we think about is eating something. But the Bible said that Jesus Christ was very excited to have or eat or celebrate the Passover. When we're dealing with troubles and trials in our life, we don't really celebrate when we're dealing with troubles, do we? Some of us go somewhere and sit down and we begin to lick our wounds and we begin to have a pity party. But Jesus Christ understood that he would have to deal with this life. One thing that we have to understand that makes no difference where we come from, what background, what socioeconomic background we come from, what ethnic group we come from, that all of us have to deal with life. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. It's just something that all of us have to deal with in terms of life. So much happened in the upper room. John is the only gospel writer to cover the upper room in great detail. He devotes five whole chapters to the event. In contrast, Mark covers only two events of the upper room. And both of those of these are given in only brief detail. Mark concentrates upon Judas' betrayal and the Lord's Supper. In five fully packed verses, he shares what Jesus did to institute the Lord's Supper. Now we understand there can always be strange talk at the supper table. But we understand if there's going to be some strange talk at the supper table, there must be some strange folk at the supper table. Isn't that right? How many of us would invite somebody into our house if we knew that they were going to betray us? Huh? None of us would do that, isn't that right? But here Jesus understands, and this is one thing I love about the Lord, that nothing catches Jesus unaware. In your life, we understand that there are some things that catches us unaware. There are some things that happens in our life that catches us off guard and knocks us down. But with Jesus Christ, the Lord knows about every situation that comes upon our life. But Jesus is beginning to say to them, and as they did eat, Jesus took bread. Amen. He began to share something with them. As they began to eat, Jesus did something very strange. He take a whole loaf of bread, and he began to break the loaf of bread, and he shared it with his disciples. Isn't that right? So we understand the first act is Jesus took bread. The second act, Jesus took the cup. The third act, Jesus revealed a glorious kingdom. And in the fourth act, the Bible says they sang a hymn. Wouldn't it be wonderful that in our life we can take whatever God has given us and break it and share with somebody else? How many of us in the midst of our lives that when we're going through some things, how many of you share with somebody else what you're going through? Amen? So we understand that Jesus did these four things. The first act, the Lord's Supper, involves bread. Note that Jesus did four things with bread. Jesus took the bread into his hands. Amen. Jesus took the bread into his hands. Amen. This symbolized that his death was a voluntary act. Isn't that right? That nobody was taking his life. Jesus said, I'm taking my life into my own hand. You know, that's the person that we ought to trust. Is the person that can take their own life in their own hand, and not only that, they can die and then in 3 days rise again. Isn't that right? I don't know what you're experiencing right now. I don't know what you're going through right now, but the first place and the best place for you to put your life is in the hands of the Lord. Note that Jesus did these four things. He took bread into his own hand. That symbolizes his death was a voluntary act. His destiny was in his hands. He did not have to die, but he willingly died. You know, our life is not in our own hand. Isn't that right? I'm glad to say this morning that my life is in the hands of the Lord. Because if you put it in my hand, I'm going to mess it up. Isn't that right? Oh, yeah. My life, my destiny is wrapped up in Jesus Christ. And you know what? If Jesus can take his own life in his own hand and tell those who were against him, isn't that right? No man take my life. I lay it down. And if I lay it down, I can pick it back up again. Isn't that right? But listen, I'm telling you right now, don't put your life in your hands. Your life is in the Lord's hand. The Bible says, as the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Therefore, doeth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. Isn't that right? Listen, we watch Houdini, we watch the TV where this famous musician named by the name of Houdini did a whole lot of tricks. But I'm telling you you right now, this is not a trick that the Lord is doing. The Lord is saying, listen, I can take my own life in my own hands, lay it down, and then pick it back up again. And if the Lord can do that with his own life, don't you know he can do that with our life? Don't you know that the Lord can take us in whatever position or shape that we're in, and we give him our lives, people will look at us and count us out and say we don't have but a few days to live, and say that we're going down. But if you put it in God's hand, don't you know that God can turn the situation around? I wish I had a few witnesses in here this morning that all I need to do is put it in the Lord's hand. And look what the Lord said. He said, I have the power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. Isn't that right? This commandment I received of my Father. Isn't that right? So Jesus, not only that, after he took the bread, he gave thanks. You ought to just every once in a while just tell the Lord, thank you. Amen. I don't care what you're going through. There may be a cross before you. There may be friends that are discouraging you. There may be times where people are putting you down. There may be people that don't understand what you're going through. But listen, if you just take the time, if you just take the time to say, Lord, I want to thank you. Isn't that right? Because it could be worse than it is right now. So Lord, I just want to take the time to thank you. Even though things are not going as well as I would hope they were going, even though it looked like it's gloomy on the outside, even though the sun is not shining on the outside, we understand that Jesus is shining on the inside. I wish I had some witnesses that right now in your life, there are some things that are happening, some situations that are occurring that don't look good, but let me tell you right now, there is a resurrection morning that's coming for you, and your time is coming. Your situation will turn around. Things gonna get better. Listen, everything gonna be alright. Weeping may endure for night, but joy is coming in the morning. I wish I had somebody that understood what I'm talking about. Jesus took and he gave thanks. See, what did the Lord have to give thanks for? Here he is sitting around the table with men that are going to betray him. Not only that, he said, the one that dips with me in the dish will be the one that will betray me. And all of them began to say, is it I? Is it me? Isn't that right? Everybody wanted to know who was going to betray them. They were not confident enough in their walk with the Lord to say, no, it's not me. I'll never do it. Isn't that right? He was sitting around the table with a man that were going to deny him not one time, not two times, but three times. Isn't that right? After making a statement that, listen, if everybody else betray you, I will never betray you. Though all men walk away from you, Jesus, I got your back. Listen, let me tell you something right now. Don't act like that you are holier than thou, that you've never done anything wrong, that you've never stabbed Jesus in the back. Every time we sin, we stab him in the back. But what does Jesus do? Jesus takes us right back again. How many are glad this morning that when you fell, when you did wrong, that the Lord took you right back again? Don't you know that the Lord loves you so much that you can never hurt him so bad that he'll turn his back on you? Aren't you glad this morning that the Lord didn't turn his back on you when you messed up, when everybody talked about you, when they hung your business on the wings of the morning, when they told everything that they said they wouldn't tell? But God said, I got you, and I'm not going to let you go. I wish I had some witnesses in here right now. Now Jesus gave thanks. He thanked God for deliverance. Amen. And some of you are going through some things, but don't you know God will deliver? Come here, children of Israel. And they had been in bondage for so long. But the Bible said that their cry came unto the Lord. And every once in a while, You got to cry unto God. You got to realize where your help is coming from. Isn't that right? You got to take time and call on the Lord. And you know, when you call on the Lord knows who you are and where you are and what you're going through. I wish I had somebody in here. That is anybody in here lately had to call on the Lord early in the morning? You ought to call on the Lord late over in the midnight hour. You ought to call on the Lord when nobody wants to hear you. You ought to call on the Lord. As a matter of fact, you ought to call on him right now. Isn't that right? You ought to call on him when you're in your car. You ought to call on him when you're at home. If you're in the shower, call on him. If you're in the bathroom, call on him. Isn't that right? You can call on him anywhere you may be. Call on him. Say, Lord, I need you. I need your provision. I need your protection. I need your assurance of life, because life doesn't look good sometimes. Even with Jesus, Jesus said, I need you to assure me that on the third day, you're going to get me up in the morning. Isn't that right? Here, so we understand Jesus gave thanks. Jesus broke the bread. This symbolized the whole, that his body was to be broken. Amen. That was a prayer that I was afraid some years to pray, and that was, Lord, break me and then make me again. And when the Lord breaks you, the Lord shows you that it's not all about you. That what's been happening and going on in your life, if it's been successful things, that you are not the one that making those things happen. See, when the Lord breaks you, the Lord takes away all of your clutches. So the only one that you can lean on is the Lord. And I heard the songwriter say, I've learned how to lean on the Lord. No, you don't learn how to lean on the Lord when you got money in your pocket. You don't learn how to lean on the Lord when you got good health. You don't learn how to lean on the Lord when everything is going right in your life. You learn how to lean on the Lord when ain't no clutch to lean on. You learn how to lean on the Lord when you ain't got a dime to your name. You learn how to lean on the Lord when the doctor walk away from your loved one and saying, I'm giving you up. You learn how to lean on the Lord when your friends are few. You learn how to lean on the Lord in the midnight hours. How many of you ever learned how to lean on the Lord? How many of you gone through some stuff? And as you've gone through the stuff in your life, you learned how to lean and depend on the Lord. Do I have any witnesses in the house that say, yeah, Reverend, I've learned how to lean on the Lord, not through the good things that happened to me, but through some of the bad things. This symbolizes that his body was to be broken. That is sacrificed. That's a word that none of us want to hear. Sacrifice. Sacrifice. Sometimes we have to sacrifice our time. Amen. Do things that the Lord would have us to do. Don't just be a people that serve the Lord when it's convenient. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Well, the good games are not on today, and I think I might go to church this morning because, amen, my team is not playing. Amen. The Lord wants you to be consistent in your walk with him. And sometimes you have to sacrifice, amen, to do what God has called you to do. No, just don't sing on the choir, amen, when it's convenient for you to sing. But you ought to press your way to sing on the choir every Sunday of the month. I wish I had somebody in here. If Jesus sacrificed his life for for you and I, we ought to sacrifice in that right. Yeah, I'll pay my tithes when it's convenient for me to pay them. But oh Lord, every once in a while, you have to press your way in that right. Let me tell you right now, in that right, Reverend McCoy ought to be a witness to all of us. In that right, it make no difference whether you're young or you're old. You still got to press your way out, to the house of the Lord. In that right, so you can proclaim with the rest of the saints, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. How many of y'all glad to be in the house this morning? In that right, you could have been other places, but the Lord found you here in the house of the Lord. So we understand, he said, I'm going to sacrifice as a victim for man's deliverance. In that right, this act was so significant that the early church sometimes called, the Lord's Supper, simply the broken bread. In that right, oh Lord, it symbolizes something when you see the broken bread. It means that Jesus, in that right, was willing to be broken for your sins and mine. I wish I had a witness. In that right, I'm glad that the Lord was broken for my sins. In that right, and it's so important. In that right, early this morning, good Lord Almighty, a young boy came by my office because he wanted to break bread this morning. He knew the importance of the Lord's Supper. In that right, he'd been sick. In that right for a whole long week. Oh Lord, Jalen came by early this morning, a young boy, in that right, and he said, Reverend, I want to take the Lord's Supper before I go back to school. He said, yeah, I've been sick, but I recognize that the Lord would have been bruised. The Lord Almighty, in that right, deacon, didn't he come in? He said, yeah, it's very important. He may not only be a 19-year-old child, but the Lord was working on his heart. And he said, I need, though I've had a scholarship that's been given to me, I understand that the Lord is the one that wake me up in the morning, but the Lord is the one that keep me going on, that he was broken, bruised for me. In that right, and this morning, as you see laying before you right now, draped in white cloth, oh Lord, Jesus said, as often as you do this, you do it in remembrance of me. Every time you break bread, you break it in my remembrance. In that right, oh Lord, and let me tell you right now, you don't have to be here in Mount Vernon. In that right, you can be at home, oh Lord, in your own house, and you can go to the cupboard, get a piece of light bread, in that right, and some grape Kool-Aid, in that right, and consecrate it. And by the way, when I said the consecrated prayer over the Lord's Supper before I gave it to Jalen, he said, Pastor, what does that mean? I said, what does what mean? And say consecration. I said, it means that it means to be set apart, only be used by God. And I'm going to let you know right now, everybody in here has been consecrated, set apart. I don't care what you're going through. I don't care what you're experiencing right now. The Lord is saying, I bless you. I've set you apart, and I'm going to use you. Anybody in here, say yeah. Say yeah. You might not look right on the outside, but the
Lord is saying, I'm doing a work on the inside. You've been set apart. And so Jesus took the bread and he broke it and he blessed it and he gave it to the disciples. Watch this. There was another time where Jesus was feeding 5,000, and they were thought that they would make fun of what Jesus was doing, and they found a little boy with two fish, 5 loaves of bread, and the Lord said, "What is?" They said, "What is this among so many?" And they're right, but the Lord said, "Put it in my hand." Let me tell you right now, when you put it in the Lord's hand, I wish I had one witness in their eyes. When they put it in the Lord's hand, the Lord took what little they had and he multiplied in their eyes. What you ought to do, put whatever you got in the Lord's hand. Put your poke weak life in the Lord's hand. In their eyes, put that check in the Lord's hand. Put that health in the Lord's hand. Put that sick person in the Lord's hand. Won't it do it? I say, won't it do it? Won't the Lord?
We hope you are blessed by the podcast. You are tuned into Mount Vernon Missionary Baptist Church podcast for the week on PrayCharlotte.com, where you have heard the teaching and preaching of Senior Pastor of Mount Vernon Missionary Baptist Church, Reverend Matthew L. Browning. This podcast is an extension of the ministry where the Word of God is magnified, Jesus is glorified, and understanding is fortified. Mount Vernon Missionary Baptist Church is located at 2901 Oneida Road, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28269, off I-85 and North Graham Street. Our order of services are as follows. Sunday, school, 9:45. Sunday worship service, 11 a.m. Monday, 7 p.m. intercessory prayer. Wednesday, Bible study, 11 a.m. and 7 p.m. If you are interested in a CD of this message in its entirety, you can call our church between the hours of 9 a.m. and 4 p.m. Monday through Friday at 704-599-1433. Again, that's 704-599-1433. Or you can mail your request at P.O. Box 16237, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28297. That's P.O. Box 16237, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28297. Or via email at mtvernonpr@bellsouth.net. Again, if this podcast has been a blessing to you, tell a friend to go online to PrayCharlotte.com and click on the podcast and enjoy the Word of God. On behalf of our pastor, Reverend Matthew L. Browning, be reminding that this is the day that the Lord has made. Let's rejoice and be glad in it.